This morning, we're going to talk about some road signs. Not the road signs that are on our actual highways, but these are the road signs of life. And just before we do that, just want to have a little word of prayer. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, you have given us so many road signs in our lives. Some are so recent, just a matter of a few weeks ago or a month ago. But Father, I pray that you would help us to look for those road signs. Now, Father, open our ears to have us hear the word from the Lord. And Lord, touch my lips, Lord. You give me words from on high, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going to need your Bibles because we will be turning. So if you have a Bible there in front of you or if you have one with you, you may as well take it out. You know, the Bible doesn't give us a date of Jesus' return, as much as we would love to have one, but he doesn't give it to us. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, it says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Only God knows when Jesus is coming. But just as we see many signposts on our highways, the Word of God, basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible, give us many, many signs of his return. And so this morning we're going to look at 10 road signs that indicate that Jesus is coming very, very, very soon. Signpost number one. As we go down the road of life, anguish, terror, perplexity. We turn to Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 28. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 28. I have a new Bible here, so some of my pages stick together. I had to get a new one. My other one fell apart. I had pages torn and everything. And I didn't want to put tape on it because tape turns the yellow color. So I kind of just put that aside in my nightstand, and because I still refer back to it now and then. But the pages stick in this one. So Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 28. "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh." Now, many people who have heard my sermons know that I love Daniel Webster's dictionary. Good old Daniel Webster. I grew up with that. I used it in kindergarten all the way up. So I don't turn to anybody else except Daniel Webster. And I looked up the word anguish, and it's defined as acute pain, suffering, or distress, agony, torment. We don't have to look very far just around us to see that people are in pain, all kinds of pain. There's pain of physical pain. There's mental pain. Hospitals are filled each day to capacity with people seeking medical help to alleviate their pain. I go to the hospital every so many weeks because I have to get blood work done. And every time I go there, there are so many people, isn't there, Heather? So many people. Heather works in the hospital. She knows. And I never see anybody that I know. There are all kinds of people there for one reason or another. There are special doctors are overwhelmed with many patients who are seeking help for mental anguish due to stress of their work, financial situations, marriage situations. And the list is endless. It just goes on and on. And it seems like there's more of it this year than there was last year. There's more mental anguish than last year. There's more pain and suffering, more sickness than last year. Daniel Webster defines terror in the dictionary as intense, sharp, overmastering fear. Have we all experienced that kind of fear? Just look around. You'll see that fear portrayed on the millions of people's faces. Luke 21:26 states that men's hearts are failing because of fear. Not just the things coming upon the earth, but personal fear. Fear of losing their jobs. Fear over their loved ones, etc. And yes, we are Christians, but we do have some concerns, don't we, about our loved ones? About our loved ones who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. And we do have fear over our jobs. Just last month, I was given a package. It's a good, great package, praise the Lord. But now I'm retired. I'm only 53, soon to be 54. But I'm retired early, praise the Lord. And I'm enjoying it. But there are some people who are not being retired early, who do not get a package. There are some people who do not know how they're going to pay their light bills or their phone bills, and so they have terror. They don't know where there's food going to be on the table or not. Perplexity, defined as the state of being perplexed, bewildered, puzzled, involved, entangled, complicated, confused, uncertainty. Many people today, they don't know where they're going to be. Today, tomorrow, the next, they have no certainty in their lives. But praise God, as Christians, we have a certainty, don't we? The soul world is completely confused. It's entangled itself with Lucifer. What once was considered immoral and an abomination unto God has now become an everyday acceptable occurrence and is considered right. The only law they keep is that if it feels good, do it. But that's not God's law. They have taken the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments out of courtrooms and schools. No longer can a student bring religious material, not alone a Bible, to school. And they wonder why. They wonder why young people are in street gangs, robbing, breaking, stealing, break and enters, murders. Why there's vandalism. How can we say as a nation, in God we trust, when we have removed him from our classrooms, our hospitals, our courtrooms, just to mention a few? Brothers and sisters, the way this world is going will continue to get worse, not better. And if we turn back to Matthew chapter 24, Jesus tells us, in verses 21 to 22 of Matthew 24. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever will be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Yes, we think we have it bad now. Put on your safety belts. We're in for a ride. Hold on. Signpost number 2, world calamities. We go back to Luke chapter 21 again. Verse 11 and verse 31. Luke 21, verse 11. Then you shall say to the master of the house. Oh, sorry, wrong chapter. Got to get used to this Bible. Verse 11, chapter 2. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Verse 31. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. This earth is mourning for its creator. Earthquakes all around us. Almost every week or almost every day, I think Bill is coming out. That's my brother. He's coming out and looking at the news early in the morning and telling me there's been an earthquake somewhere. They're all around us. On average, the Geological Survey of Canada records and locates over 4,000 plus earthquakes in Canada each year. It's probably more than that now since I wrote this. This sermon was written back in 2011. That is about 11 per day, 11 earthquakes per day. Of these 4,000 plus, only about 50, that's one per week, are actually felt. So you can still have an earthquake even though you don't feel it. Tornadoes, thunderstorms, severe and mild, flooding, and we see a lot of that here. Famines, pestilences, they are deadly diseases, something harmful and evil, are everywhere. It seems each year there's a new disease, and the World Health Organization is scrambling to come up with a vaccine or antibiotic. World calamities. That's just to mention a few. Let's turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And verse 3. Let's start with verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Signpost number 3, accumulating wealth. It seems all the business people that are not Christians are getting more greedy and greedy and greedy and greedy every day. The last days, as James tells us, people will be accumulating riches in many forms, materials, money for themselves. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having money, but we need to put that in the right priority. We need to give God his due. But God also tells us to store for ourselves in Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. When you die, you're not going to take it with you. I mean, my mom passed away last June, and it's taken me all the way up until now to try and clean out, downsize some of the stuff was in the house. And let me tell you, that was quite a lot. I must have made about 50 or 60 trips to the Salvation Army thrift store. But don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And let's not forget that other passage we often quote in the Bible. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose your soul? I'd rather lose the world than lose my soul. Because tell you the truth, there ain't nothing in this world. Yes, we need a car to get from here and there. Yes, we need money to buy groceries. Yes, we need to pay our bills to keep warm and to chat with our friends on the phone. Yes, we need to wear clothes. We can't come to church in our birthday suits. We have to come presentable to God. But do we need a home? Yes, we need a home. We need somewhere for shelter. But are we becoming like Solomon, tearing down our barns and building bigger just because so-and-so has something bigger? Are we going out and we're buying 5 or 6 cars just because so-and-so got like 5 or 6 cars and we want them? Well, only one really gets you from point A to point B. You can only drive one at a time. In Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6, page 452 to 453, the servant of the Lord, Sister White, says, "The Bible condemns no man for being rich if," you gotta love these little tiny words, "if he has acquired his riches honestly. It is the selfish love of money wrongfully employed that is the root of all evil. Wealth will prove a blessing if we regard it as the Lord's, to be received with thankfulness and with thankfulness returned to the giver. All that we are, all that we have, all that we ever hope to be, all that we ever hope to have belongs to God. And I would rather be a pauper on this earth than lose my mansion in heaven. I'd rather be a pauper on earth than to lose my seat at the grand table in heaven. I'd rather be a pauper on earth than to lose my chance of casting my crown at his feet." Always remember, whatever the Lord has provided you in riches, in money, give him back what is due him. Do not rob him. And it doesn't have to be money. It could be in talents. The Lord has given you a talent to cook. Not one of the great talents he gave me, but if God has given you a talent to cook, whether you're a man or a woman, and you know of a neighbor that's sick or doesn't have much, cook them something. Bring it over. Do it in the name of the Lord. James chapter 5, verses 4, 8, and 9. "Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath." In verse 8, "You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." We don't have time to go about doing civil unrest, which is signpost number 4. We can't take that chance. The judge is standing at the door. We've got neighbors against neighbors. Just last year, our neighbor next door to me got in a big brawl outfit with the neighbor across the street. And I closed all my windows and doors and I could still hear the vulgar language. Over something silly. A ball. Neighbor against neighbor. Employees against employer. I've heard people say, "Employer's making a pile of money. Why can't I get a decent wage?" Doesn't Paul tell us in the Bible to be content with what we have? Didn't Jesus tell us the story about the man who had hired servants? And some were there longer than others, but they all got the same pay? There's rioting, mischief, there's theft, fraud, and a lot more than that. There's abuse. Just look at the news every evening. Sometimes I think the evening news should be rated X. Just look at it. I get up, and I used to go to work in the mornings. I get up and I turn on the 7:45 news and VOCM as I was eating breakfast. And the very first things, I'm sure about 10 minutes of nothing but civil unrest. Somebody stole this. Someone's gone to court for this. It's everywhere. And it's on the high increase. Signpost number 4, civil unrest. And oh yeah, it's going to get worse. Remember what we read? That no flesh will stand it. Signpost number 5, moral decay. That's a big one. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1-5 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, but know this. Paul is warning us here, but know this. In other words, smarten up, open your ears, look around you, because in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And he tells us from all of these things, and I think Paul pretty much sums all of it up when he lists those type of people, to turn away. Don't have anything to do with it. Turn away. Verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I don't think this passage needs much of an explanation. I think it's pretty straightforward. No matter what day, where you go, there is moral breakdown in society. There's quite a lot. As I said earlier, they believe in the law that, these people believe in the law that if it feels good, let's do it. So if it feels good to break into your home, they'll do it. If it feels good to commit adultery, they'll do it. But the Lord tells us as Christians, we are his people, to be patient. Establish our hearts. How do we do that? By praying down on our knees, by reading God's word, following his commandments, because his coming is very near. We are not to grumble one against another, lest we be condemned. If we're grumbling down here, what makes you so sure we're not going to be grumbling up there? Grumblers don't go to heaven. How can you grumble against your Christian neighbor? Remember, when you're grumbling against them, to them, or about them, you're grumbling against God. Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. The judge is standing at the door. Signpost number 6. We're halfway there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders. And then we go back to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. I just got to get a drop of water. Signpost number 6, spread of the occult, or the New Age movement. Jesus warns us to watch out for false Christs and false prophets. Now, there are many false prophets and many false Christs, because Jesus said in his day when he was preaching, there are many. Some universities today, and the university in particular I'm thinking of is Memorial University. And I'm shocked when I found this out. They're actually teaching classes in witchcraft. Imagine, you can get a degree in that now. I think Satan's been busy. Could even get a degree now in his specialty. Imagine. And then on the other side of the coin, or down the other side of the hall, we have MASTAS, which is Memorial Association of Seventh-day Adventists, who are preaching the Word of God. And I'm just waiting any day for this big clash, because it's going to come. Satan is in an all-out attempt in the final hours of Earth's history to deceive the whole world. And if we don't be careful, if we don't keep our eyes focused on the cross and on Jesus Christ, we too can be deceived, if we're not securely abiding in Jesus. How close are we? I think many of us by now have seen the video that Doug Batchelor had on regarding the unity of the Protestants and the Catholics. How many have seen it? Just one? Just a couple? Well, a couple of Sundays ago, I was finishing breakfast looking at the news on Channel 20. And on 21, as I was scanning up the channels, they had Pat Robertson on. And this is what they had on. They had Bishop Tony, forget his name now, Palmer, thank you, on. And they were showing the same thing that Pastor Doug Batchelor had on internet. And I couldn't help but realize that I'm seeing prophecy being fulfilled in my eyes and hearing it fulfilled in my ears. Be careful, brothers and sisters. Satan is like a roaring lion, and he can go about deceiving many. He can take the forms of many things. He took the form of a serpent, a snake, with Eve, seeking whom he may devour. And one of the things in the last days, he'll even let you think that you're seeing your loved ones who have passed on. When we know from the Bible that the dead know nothing. Signpost number 7. Turn to the Old Testament. In the book of Joel. The book of Joel. Chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision, For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. I'm sorry, I've got to go up a bit further. Verse 12. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Signpost number 7, an awakened world. In the Seventh-day Adventist Commentary, volume 4, page 949, states, wake up, to arouse, to stir up. There will be a stirring up of the wicked powers of earth to destroy the people of God. Adventist expositors have generally seen in this prophecy a forecast not only of climatic events associated with the great day of the Lord, but also of international military activities in the final days of earth's history. The gradual withdrawal of God's Spirit in these last days leaves the way open for a corresponding increase in satanic activity designed to lead men to destroy one another. This process will reach its climax just before the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven. Yep, it's an awakened world. It's going to be stirred up. And although it might seem like it's pretty quiet here in good old Newfoundland, but it will reach our shores, most definitely. No place, no province, no place on earth will escape the calamity that's coming on this world. Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Let's go back to Micah. Micah chapter 4. And verses 1 to 3, Micah 4, 1 to 3. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the mountain, on top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. And we shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And back to Joel chapter 3. Verses 9 to 13. Joel 3, 9 to 13. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near, then let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations. And gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Sign number 8, peace plans, war preparation. At the time I wrote this, and there's probably more today, It was believed that there are more than 43 wars. So I'm going to say 43 plus wars going on in the world today since we welcomed in 2014. What happened to the peace process? They seek peace, but in their hearts is war. All because of greed, of course. All because they're storing their treasures on the earth. They seek peace, but in their hearts is war. Signpost number 9. Let's look and see what Daniel tells us in chapter 12. Daniel. Wise old Daniel. Chapter 12 and verse 4. But you, Daniel has had a vision here. He says, the angel says, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Signpost number 9, modern progress. Look at how much we've come since Bible days. Cars, chariots without horses, cameras, telecommunications, computers, cell phones, GPS systems in our cars, and the list is endless. Ladies, in our kitchen, we have a KitchenAid mixer. We have an electric kettle. We have an electric stove. It's a long cry from what probably Sarah and Abraham had to do, a little fire over an open pit. Mother in progress. We don't have to wait weeks anymore to receive word of any world events. All you got to do is turn on the channel, CBC, NTV, CNN. I remember when I was a little girl, many, many, many years ago, we only had two stations in Newfoundland, CBC and CJON. And sometimes when we heard the news, it was news to us, but it was actually history by the time we've got it. But now we get it sometimes before it's even happened. And we don't have to worry about getting worried about our loved ones who are living away from us, because if you've got the internet and you've got Facebook, we can even watch each other and talk to each other by Skype. Now, can you imagine Abraham talking to Lot using Skype? We'd have been frightened to death, although some of us are frightened to death of it. I am. But look how much we've progressed. We don't have to travel by horse anymore. Paul had to travel by boat to get from Jerusalem over to Greece. We can just hop on a plane and in an hour or two we're there. We can send messages, email, people in China. And in a matter of seconds, they're reading what I've sent. And our church is going all over the world. VOAR. Heard all around the world as they broadcast this morning. The internet, Bell Express View, the radio. Poor old Apostle Paul, he had to travel for weeks on foot and boat to reach his audience about the good news of Jesus. Knowledge on the increase. And someone said, well, how is all the world going to see Jesus come? Well, as I guarantee you, CNN's going to be clicking their cameras that day. And I'm sure there is more knowledge to come. We have knowledge in the medical field. Back in Bible days, if you had blocked arteries in your heart, that was it. Today, they can not only put in a stent or clear the artery, they can take a heart out and put in another one. Progress. Our last signpost, number 10, a gospel to all the world, Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Has the gospel gone to all the world yet, as indicated by Jesus' words? There are approximately 195 nations in the world, and according to World Evangelism statistics, of the 55 least evangelized nations, 97% of their population lives within the 1040 window. And that lies across Africa and Asia, from 10 degrees latitude north of the equator to 40 degrees latitude north of the equator. And even today, it is in the process of being evangelized. So these people who are doing this, we certainly need to keep them in our prayers. We need to get the gospel to everyone. We each have a part to play in evangelizing the world, and so we had better get busy and heed the Lord's command to go and preach the gospel to all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Is Jesus coming again? Absolutely. Is Jesus coming very, very near? Again, absolutely. The world's clock is about to run out of time. The clock's hands are almost on the midnight hour. The trumpet of God is about to sound, and God's people are about to go home. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, will you hear your name mentioned? I pray this morning that we all do.
Of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. I see prophecies fulfilling.
We do, don't we?
And signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father's
Son, go get the children.
And at the midnight, she's gonna rise as her Jesus steps up. Get in Christ, they're gonna rise.
Folks, get the wax out of your ears. Keep your eyes on the eastern sky. Keep your ears open. Keep your minds tuned to Christ. Because I can almost hear the Father say, Son, go gather up all our children and let's bring them home. There's a midnight cry. We're down in the toenails of the great statue Nebuchadnezzar had, and the toenails are ready for clipping. We're soon going home. Look for the signs. Read your Bible. Keep a one-on-one conversation with Christ. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Keep straight ahead, eyes focused on the cross, eyes focused on Jesus. We've come too far to turn back now. The midnight cry is about to sound, and then we're going home. Let's stand, shall we, for the benediction? Precious Lord, come take us home. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Amen. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Hallelujah. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Each one of us have loved ones, don't we? That have gone before us or fallen asleep in Christ. awaiting the call of the life giver. You know, it would be a shame that they not see us go too. There's nothing left for this world, and my humble plea this morning, right from my heart, is that we would draw closer to Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that we're going to be changed. Well, I want to get so close to Christ that there's not going to be a real big change when he calls my name. I pray this morning that as we dismiss now in prayer, that you will find Christ, to draw yourself closer to him. I pray that if the Lord does not tarry before I get out here again, I pray that I see each one of you there and that we'll walk down those golden streets together, hand in hand, praising our Savior. And by the way, we're all going to have beautiful voices. So if you think you can't sing, you wait till you get to heaven because you're going to sing like the angels. And we're going to cast our crowns at his feet. Jesus is coming soon. We have the signs to prove it. And we have his word that guarantees it. Enjoy your Sabbath. And now let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed day. And now, Father, as we dismiss with your blessing, that you give us traveling mercies and Lord, draw us closer to you so that on the day when the trumpet sounds, Lord, that and when we are changed, there won't be a whole lot to change. Father, we praise you and love you for who you are. Keep us close to you in Jesus' name. Amen.